One Show, One Drink, part of the What We Watch When We Drink podcast from the Booze Dancing Entertainment Network and the unofficial podcast of the 2022 Winter Olympics. Gentlemen, how are we?
Doing good. Are we going to resurrect Jim McKay for this one?
Jim McKay is actually in the green room as we speak. He will
be coming out soon. Oh, he's in the green room, all right.
With Mark Spitz, we'll be talking about frozen lake swimming.
What's today's topic?
The first episode of Ozark, episode one from season one. And we'll be drinking a very special bottle from our friends at Amrit, a very unique bottle. And we will talk about all that after the intro.
Welcome to One Show, One Drink, part of the What We Watch When We Drink podcast from the Booze Dancing Entertainment Network, where we take one show or film and pair it with one boozy beverage. If you enjoy this show, please subscribe on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, Google, Audible, and anywhere else you get your podcasts. You can also find us on boozedancing.com, and if you have any questions, comments, show or drink suggestions, email us at boozedancing@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.
One Show, One Drink. We are back with One Show and One Drink, and we are going to start off with one drink from India, an Indian whiskey called Amrit. And this whiskey, this specific bottling, is from a cask pick from the Southern California Whiskey Club, which I'm a member of. And it is, you guys want some details?
Sure.
Back in the baseball card stuff. This is an 8-year-old export pipe cask, unpeated Indian single malt barley, bottled in 2021. And there were 396 bottles.
Did that all go to your club?
Well, it didn't go to the club. You know, you can't get it to the club per se directly. You have to go through a retailer, right? So it's actually, I think it's all being sold, I think, through K&L.
Right, but I didn't know whether it was open to anyone else to purchase or only, you know, you had to be a member of your club in order to buy it.
It's a retail release, so you can buy it through K&L. So you guys, you could go on the website too. And I think it actually says, yeah, our on the label of the bottom of the bottle, it does say our Whiskey Club, and it's also on the can as well, on the tin. So there you go. So shall we, before we jump in, do a little clink clink?
Well, yes, we shall.
Sure, let's have a cheers.
Gentlemen, cheers.
Cheers. So this is one of the more blood red looking whiskeys we've ever had, right?
I said it. You guys got all upset. Now you went back and looked at it, and now you agree.
I agree.
There's blood, sweat, and tears in this glass.
So if you saw this without knowing what it was, would you think whiskey?
No, I would think it was like a port or like a wine of some sort.
Or a wine,
And really, when you get on the nose, it's like heavy on the fortified wine.
I almost thought an Amaro or something.
Right. Or like a vermouth.
Yeah. So for the folks listening at home, it's really, really dark.
It's deep into the rubies.
It's beyond ruby. It's post-ruby.
To me, it smells like a mince pie. It's good. I like it.
By the way, did we mention that this is a whiskey with a 6?
6-0, yes.
Yeah, that's the only part of this. The fortified wine, they've certainly fortified this something fierce.
Oh, my God. They've called in for reinforcements.
They built a fortification.
So our club worked with our friend Raj from Glass Revolution.
I went in. Wow. Really sweet. Really delicious.
It's got a lot of vapor on the nose, but then once you get past the vapor, I mean, it's really, really rich.
Mm-hmm.
It is really, really rich on the nose. I mean, it's like really dark brown sugar and dried fruit and maybe a little bit of cinnamon and spice. What'd you say before, Mike? Like a mince pie?
Yeah, like mince pie. The society refers to their older, more rounded flavors as the old and dignified. This certainly tastes older than 8 years. This is a really good whiskey.
Funny you said that. I was just looking at the K&L website because it's still on the site. They still have bottles in Hollywood and San Francisco. It says here, 8 years in the heat in Bangalore is like 30 plus in Scotland.
Yeah.
This whiskey, more so than even the Oloroso bottle exclusive for K&L, is reminiscent of the other great tropical malt producer, Cavillon. The sheer extraction that's been achieved both from the wood and the wine is simply not possible in the Scottish climate. And ultimately, this is the closest thing to any of the Taiwanese cask strength whiskies that we can get right now. So there you go.
That is huge.
This is like the old, library leather chair kind of flavors you're getting. This is a really good, nice whiskey.
That is big.
It's big. It's bold. The sweetness is really nice.
You know, what's interesting though? Is you know how you get when you get like the really, really heavily sherried whiskeys like in a Buna and it's like really, really, really rich and like almost like dank?
Yeah.
This isn't like that. It's got the ABV and all that. It's got the heat. But in terms of the flavors, it's a little bit more light and wispy. Like it's rich and fruity, but it's not overbearing. Do you know what I mean?
I like that mouthfeel.
It's a soft 60.
Right. No, seriously, it is.
Yeah, it is. You're right.
And if you add a little bit of water to it, I think then you start to get more like the caramels and the vanillas and some of that comes out.
Right.
Which is maybe what you're more used to getting out of a whiskey. But with the port, it kind of rounds those flavors and kind of twists them a little bit. So it's still something completely different.
That is very, very nice. I like that.
It's nice. It's big. It's bold. And it's really different too. This is not your standard off-the-shelf scotch or...
Or even Amroot. It's not your off-the-shelf Amroot because of the age and because of the ABV. It's really just the port, everything about it. It's really nice.
All right. We got whiskey in hand, so let's go and go to Missouri. Or let's start in Chicago. We're going to go and meet the Bird family, episode 1, season 1 of Ozark on Netflix. And we meet the Birds, Marty, and what's his wife's name?
Wendy.
Wendy
and their two kids, Jonah and Charlotte. Right.
Yep.
Marty has a company with a partner, and the same day that they're looking at that space, Marty also is finding out that his wife is having an affair, and they want to make this big decision on moving, or his partner does, into this big location overlooking the city. It's gorgeous. And do we know what they do?
They're financial advisors.
Yeah, they're like certified financial planners. They're portfolio managers. They're asset managers.
And Marty is a savant of software and money and things. And we learn more about that later on.
And they mentioned at one point when he was meeting with, you know, when he finds out that his wife is cheating and he's watching the video of her having sex with her lover. And he's I guess, doing the soft sell on this one couple. And then his partner comes in and kind of like speeds up the process a little bit.
Yep.
I guess they handle like a big medical practice.
Yeah, they says they do 73% of Northwestern's physicians.
Right. Oh, Northwestern, like Northwestern University.
Northwestern University, which is probably
so, like what, over 1,000 doctors.
So, well, if they're actually doing this, you don't know.
What well, no, I'm saying, but if
it would be an enormous practice, you know, if they had that many physicians, it could be like into the thousands of doctors.
Right.
And they say this to some poor couple and say, we're kind of closing it out, but if you gave us like $5,000 right now, we'll let you in. Just cash or card, you can charge it, you know, whatever.
From that interaction, you get a sense really early that without knowing much about Marty, you know, the partner's a little bit scummy.
Yeah, Bruce seems like a little boiler roomy kind of guy. That he's,
Bruce doesn't seem like he's always on the up and up.
He's the hard sell. Marty's like the soft sell with the facts and figures, and he's probably the guy doing the work in terms of the investments and actually managing the money.
So things change pretty quickly. That night, Marty gets called to go meet his partner in a trucking company office. We find out that the trucking company and Bruce has been skimming money from a Mexican cartel, drug cartel. You guys can fill in some blanks here.
Yeah, and what they do, they use the trucking company to transport the money. And they go from place to place, and then they pick the money up. And Marty does his magic by taking the money, moving it around, cleaning it, keeping his little cut, and then laundering it back to these
people. Now, the guy who's up here is not the head of the cartel, but he's kind of like the right-hand man.
Yes.
And it's Del, and it's played by Issei Morales.
And his name's Mr. Del Rio. So they call him Del, yeah.
And Mr. Del Rio takes things very seriously about what's gone on, and death ensues, I would say.
Well, first he tells the little story about his father.
Yes, the long story about his father.
And this wonderful woman who worked for us for 15 years. I was a young kid. We called her Aunt Carlotta. And Aunt Carlotta got caught taking $5 out of the register. And what should we do? And the owner of the trucking company says, you put her on probation. And Bruce says, well, you know, 15 years and it's just this one time, you know, I let it slide. You know, you just let it slide. And when they get to Marty realizes that this is not really the answer to the question anybody wants. And he blows up on the guy and says, you're coming in here and you're acting as if we've done something and we haven't. And then the body count ensues because apparently they have done something and he's not in on it.
Well, what's funny is that they mentioned, you know, that it's not like there was an actual physical count. They were going by weight. There was so much money going back and forth that they estimated the weight of what the money was on the truck and kind of did a rough estimate of, you know, what was it, $8 million?
Based on the amount of gas that goes through and the distance traveled, they could figure out how much money was in it.
So that just goes to show you how much money's floating around.
Lots of people leave this, the mortal coil. Most importantly, Bruce, Marty's partner. And Mr. Del Rio gives Marty another chance.
First, when Bruce leaves this mortal coil, he confesses, and the Mexican cartel enforcer thinks $5 million is missing, just as a round number. And he tells him it's $8 million, and he tells him that they've been stealing for 3 years. So it gets to be even more of a bind, where his partner, who's his buddy, and he's been with him forever, he now finds out he's been stealing for 3 years from the business. And it's a tremendous amount of money.
Marty comes up with an idea. He can, you know, keep laundering money for the cartel. And Mr. Del Rio likes the idea, but gives him a very short deadline to figure out how to do this. To kind of prove his worth, I think, and whether he can do it.
This was the Hail Mary, right? He pretty much had a gun to his head. And as we learned quickly, Marty has survival instincts.
Fast on his feet.
Mm-hmm. Fast on his feet, comes up with an idea, and there was a brochure about the Ozarks.
His partner, Bruce, had said he went down to the Ozarks as a vacation stop and was telling Marty that he's so uptight and he needs to unwind, and if he goes down there, it's the Redneck Riviera. You go down there, you have a good time, you enjoy yourself, and as he's telling him all about the place, what he's really telling him is the opportunity there would be to continue to launder money. Because all of these people come down there. It's all cash businesses. There's an opportunity to do something, as is Hail Mary.
And then Marty is on the clock to basically clean out, get as much cash as possible. Yep. He's given a number. I can't remember the number he has to get out. And
48 hours to get the $8 million.
To get $8 million out. Yep. And then so he's got to get all the cash he can and then basically convince his family that we're moving to the Ozarks. He tells his wife, but doesn't tell the kids. And before you know it, they're going to be in a minivan and changing their entire life. This show's garnered lots of awards and lots of high praise for good reason. We haven't even talked about who the actors are. You've got Jason Bateman. He's an amazing actor to me. He's funny. He's serious. He's believable. In some ways, he's always the same character in a lot of ways. He's got this intelligence that is kind of off the charts. He's sort of savant-like. And he's almost like that in a lot of shows. But nothing ever goes completely right for him either. Yeah. Right? He wants to get to the promised land, but can't get there. He just can't get there. He just there's always a stumbling block. He's Job, but not Job in Arrested Development. he's really great. Laura Linney plays his wife. I'm not a big Laura Linney fan, but she's really good in this. She's really good as his wife. And her arc is interesting, and what she becomes later on in the show is really fascinating too. How her life changes with money and strength.
Question for you: she knew that he was laundering money right from the beginning. Yes. I mean, there was no doubt that she knew. The kids don't know,
and that was the humorous, as his little, you know, contrived part goes, where he tells her we should go to the police. Okay. You know that your husband is laundering money for the second largest Mexican cartel in the world. I am the FBI. Go. How does this play out? And it becomes one of those, like, oh, we can't go to the police. This is just everyone going to jail. And the boyfriend, when he goes to confront him and her, and the mobsters are there, and they throw him off the balcony. And he just hits the ground like a bag of wet cement. And Jason Bateman just turns it around, gets back in his car, and just drives away.
By the way, what does it say about me that was the moment when I was hooked on the show?
Yeah, that was great. That was great. That was just great.
That got me right there. And the thing that I like about the show throughout, the show's a little ludicrous. It gets a little ridiculous at times. But you could say that about any show, because ultimately it's supposed to be entertaining. But what I always like about the show is that when push comes to shove, they just blurt out the truth.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, about what's going on. Like, they tell the kids, like, within, I don't know, maybe the first couple episodes, by the way, this is what we do.
This is why we're here. You know.
Yeah, this is why we're here. This is what we do. And, you know, there's just other stuff that happens later on.
We picked this first episode, and I almost wish we picked another one from that first season. The episode ends with them getting down to the Ozarks and looking out over the lake, but not getting into the world that they're getting into. what the first season is a lot about is the fish out of water scenario. You've got this family from the big city going to the Redneck Riviera and and learning
Southern Missouri
and learning to live in this world where it's not the same. And that's what these kids have to learn to be part of this community. And Marty and Wendy have to learn how to be part of this community and all of its weirdness. We don't see that at all in the first episode. We also don't see
our favorite character, Ruth Langmore.
We could have a whole episode just about her because she's so good. So we don't see all that. We just see this family from Chicago get themselves into this crazy situation with a Mexican cartel, and they have to go from Chicago to Southern Missouri. And we're left thinking, where the hell is this going to go?
The other thing you see at the very end, they get to the Lake of the Ozarks and they're standing on a cliff and you see the water below them and everything. But the scene immediately before that, you see the FBI in the brand new office space that his buddy partner was trying to get them to rent, removing all of the bugs. And you find out that his buddy, his pal, his longtime friend was skimming from a Mexican cartel and working with the federal government, that he was going to go and move them into this space, record everything, and get his free pass and probably bury his friend Marty again. You just think, wow, this guy's the worst friend in the world. a friend like that, you know, I don't feel so bad that he met his doom. That was just awful.
And I don't recall from that first season whether that kind of that relationship with Marty and Bruce gets really looked at too much. It's sort of left behind in that first episode, as I recall.
He pulls him aside at one point and says, how long have we known each other? How long have we been friends? How long have we been doing all these things? And you're like, okay, you're basically giving the hard sell to your friend Marty, but at the same time, you're screwing him like you screw everybody else. You're just a horrible person.
Yeah.
And Marty's not, you know, strong enough or bright enough, whatever, in this one aspect to recognize it and get out of the way. You know, washing money for the cartel, he's a brilliant guy. Sends it all over the place. But for this, he can't see past himself. And then that introduces the FBI guy who then, I'm assuming, provides additional problems down the road.
It's really good. And you don't really know where this is going to go. But you know that it's got this weird three-legged stool of Mexican cartel, Missouri, in Chicago, and it doesn't make any sense, at least initially. I like the first season a lot because it is that fish out of water family trying to figure out how to live in Missouri. The kids don't want to be there. They all kind of don't want to be there after a while, but they know they have to be there to get this job done so they can escape the cartel. And it's not easy. And I like that kind of stuff. You have to kind of deal with this adversity of living in a place you're not used to for dad's job.
Spur of the moment.
As is usually the case, you know, when they're the fish out of water, they assume they know more than the folks that they're like going to be living with.
Everyone's less sophisticated than they are.
And they're not. Like, not to spoil it, but I was watching a couple episodes later and he's talking to this guy where he would like to kind of be I think he calls himself an angel investor, where he's just pumping some cash in to fix these businesses up and make money. And the guy's like, come on, man. I know you're trying to launder money. This is what it's going to cost you.
The moral of the fish out of water story is that everyone's the same everywhere. It's the same, no matter where you go. Maybe this place has trees and you have skyscrapers.
Change of scenery. A little more grass.
What's interesting, though, is that it's not filmed in the Ozarks.
No, where's it filmed at?
It's filmed in Georgia. It's filmed outside of Atlanta.
There's so many tax breaks in Georgia for filming. So that totally makes sense. Jason Bateman is so good in this. He's just so good. And you know, he's such a great comedic actor. You see little bits of his humor every once in a while, but he's playing this thing pretty damn serious because he has to. And it's a drama, but there are little bits of dad humor. There are little bits of Jason Bateman that come out that, you know, the funny guy. And it makes me love him as an actor even more so after watching that first episode again.
Well, it's funny because a lot of folks always compare it to Breaking Bad, but I'm like, he didn't break bad. He was always bad from the beginning. There was no change. Now it's just like either how to keep going or how the hell to get out.
Yeah.
You know, there's no turn. He was already turned.
He's turned. He's turned. And now it's, you're right. How do I get out of this? Or how do I, well, for them is how to get out of this because it's really threatening his family. and the stakes are really, really high.
What's his name is very good too.
Simon Morales.
Yeah, he's actually really good.
He's really, really good.
Because he's believable. He's not just a thug. He's smart. You know, he's running the business. He's not going to get the wool pulled over his eyes.
The one scene, he tells him, you know, get me $8 million in 48 hours. And he does. He gets $8 million in 48 hours. And he's like, okay, there's your money. And he's like, all right, now I want you to take it. I want you to go down to the Ozarks and I want you to wash it for me. And he's like, but it's already clean. Yeah, I want you to wash it for me. Well, you're going to lose 15% to the groups and you're going to lose 25% in taxes. Okay, I want you to wash it for me. And, but I'm intrigued, is what he said. I'm just intrigued.
I want to see if he can do it.
He's like, is it a story? Did you just make something up? Is this your Hail Mary? I want to see this actually happen. And the guy's willing to lose, you know, $3.5 million just to be like, eh, I want to see what happens here. Because to them, $3.5 million probably isn't a whole lot of money. I just want to see what happens. So the whole premise behind it's really, really interesting. And Bateman, for being the actor, he's also the executive producer and the director for the show. And he gets nominated for several Emmys for all three things, as the producer, as an actor, and he wins one as the director. So he's pretty good.
He's a 5-tool player. He does it all in this series. I just can't speak enough about him. He's just really good. Speaking of great, do we like this whiskey?
I do. I like it a lot.
This was a great pick by your club.
It is muy caliente. Es muy grande.
Think they serve this at the Missouri Bell?
Maybe. Wait, that's later. That's down the road. That's down the road.
Spoiler alert.
They would have purchased 3,000 bottles of it, and there were only 396 to start. So the invoice would have read something else.
And Ruth is writing zeros on all the bottles.
Yep.
Marty.
Yeah, it's good.
I love Ruth. Ruth is the best.
Well, we definitely need to revisit. We need to put this
we
on
do.
The,
we got
to
go back to Ruth.
Future episode and find a good one with Ruth and just explore the world of Ruth Langhorne. Yeah. She is...
It's Langmore.
Langmore. Julia Garner. I don't know what else she's done, but she is just so good in this. It's crazy. Hey, she's from Riverdale, New York, where my daughter goes to college.
Well, she was in The Americans too, remember?
She was in The Americans. That's right. Yeah. Oh, that's right. She was good in The Americans.
She was great.
And who doesn't love The Americans?
Wow.
I got to say, I was that, well, not to go off topic, but I was reluctant to watch that show, but I'm glad I did.
Americans.
It's very, very good. Yeah, it's a great show.
It's really great. Americans might be a good one to revisit. I'd love to see the last episode again.
Oh.
So good.
So anyway, Ozark.
Ozark, season 1, episode 1, really good. We enjoyed it. If you haven't seen it yet, jump in on that. It's really great.
It's a fun show. This is a fun whiskey. This was a fun little chat.
Amrit, the export pipe single cask for the Southern California Whiskey Club, limited edition. As Ange said, it looks like a bottle of coagulated blood.
It tastes better than that, though.
Let me ask you one thing. How much coagulated blood have you tried? Black and white pudding is pretty delicious.
I live in the shadows. I'm just saying.
He lives in the shadows.
He lives in the shadows. So, yeah, I mean, the whiskey's delicious, by the way. It really is good. It really is. How many Glencairns, future sponsor of One Show, One Drink?
I think it's a 5.
I think so, too.
4.5, 5. It's a solid.
That's close. Yeah.
And it's still available for those listening. There are still bottles available at K&L Wines. So you can just hop on there, and if you want to buy a bottle, buy a bottle.
K&L Wine and Spirits, future sponsor.
One Show, One Drink. That's right. And with that in mind, Ange, why don't you tell everyone at home listening where they can listen again?
All righty. So you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Audible, Google. And, you know, if all that fails, head on over to boozedancing.com. You could find us there. And if you have any drink, show, cocktail, whiskey suggestions, want to say hello, want to send us some whiskey, want to send us some screeners so we could review that, go right ahead. boozedancing@gmail.com. We're here for you.
One show, one drink, one coagulated blood.
Blood, blood, blood.
Blood, 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 blood.
Gentlemen, always a pleasure.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers.